cloud. So again, right, this biblical imagery, right? The creators of Superman look to the Bible to help create these stories. What better place to look? So Superman was the only hero strong enough to even attempt to face this monster. But in order to defeat him, he realizes he might have to sacrifice himself too. And he does. So there's some differences in the story, obviously, but the analogy is so good. Right? For God so loved the world that he was willing to send his only son. Right? So Superman is the superhero version of that same story. Paul puts it like this in Romans 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. All right, so that was the number 4 selling comic book of all time. And then it set the stage for the number 3 selling comic book of all time, which was called The Resurrection of Superman. All right, so the analogy continues. So this brings together the perfect combination of power, love, and sacrifice. So Jesus could have drawn an army of angels down to get him off the cross, but right, it's been said that his great love for us kept him on the cross, not the nails. So, but he didn't do that. But then 3 days later, his great power that we've been talking about resulted in the empty tomb. And so the Savior that we worship today, he lives because of his sacrificial love, because of his power. Superman is awesome, but he doesn't compare to the real superhero that his story is based on. All right, let's move on to another superhero. All right, so let's go with Wonder Woman next. The villain here is powerful yet kind and loving. So, you know, there've been a couple Wonder Woman movies. The director of those movies said this: the greatest thing about Wonder Woman is how good and kind and loving she is, yet none of that negates any of her power. So we're going to look at a story from Luke 7 and kind of see this same idea. All right. So Luke 7, starting at verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier, and they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and surrounding country. So this woman was dealing with double grief. It said she was a widow, and now she had lost her son, right? This is rough. This is crushing. And so, right, this grief is powerful. And so we're so thankful for Grief Share Ministry that we're able to host here and all that are part of that, right? Those are unlikely heroes that assist people and help people and pray for people and walk in that, people who are going through grief. And, right, that's something that eventually touches everyone. So in addition to the emotional grief, right, the personal loss, in the culture that she was in, she's likely facing a horrible future, right, without a husband or a son. So she's facing this grief. She's broken. She's facing a difficult future. And in the throes of this grief, she feels alone. But she's not really alone, right? Even though she wasn't even looking for Jesus. Notice in verse 13, it says, he saw her. He saw her, right? He sees us. Even when we're not looking, even if we've purposely turned from him, he sees us. When you think you're alone, you're not, right? God is, not only is God all-powerful, he's all-present. So our Savior is a God of mercy and grace, and he is kind and loving. He's a friend to the brokenhearted because he moves with compassion when we're in pain. He sees us. He wants to walk with us in that. Notice he said, don't cry. Right? I hope you feel the compassion in that, right? It's not a stop crying. It's a don't cry, because I'm about to show you my power, right? I'm about to give you hope. I want you to be ready for what I'm about to do. He's preparing her for the miracle that's about to happen. The miracle is obviously amazing, but I like how the story ends. It ends with Jesus gave him back to his mother, right? A relationship was restored. Joy was restored. Peace was restored. A future was restored, right? This is the thing that that goes beyond just a powerful God, but a kind and loving and merciful God. That's the kind of thing that our God does. All right, let's move to our third superhero. All right, this one's for Toby. So somebody tell Toby I gave him a shout out. All right, so this is Spider-Man, right? So Toby, if you don't know, Toby's our own little Spider-Man running around. All right, so if you're a Spidey fan, you probably know this fill-in. With great power comes great responsibility, right? So this comes from the story. The background here is, so Spider-Man is Peter Parker. Before he becomes Spider-Man, he's just this regular everyday kid, right? Peter Parker. His uncle, who's his like father figure, tells Peter that with his newfound powers, he has a great responsibility, right? He says, with great power comes great responsibility. But the tragedy of the story is that because Spider-Man looks the other way when something bad was going on, that crook ends up killing his uncle. And, right, he has to live with the consequences of his decision. It's a difficult lesson, but then this motto changes Spider-Man's trajectory and becomes kind of his guiding principle, right, for his superpower fighting days, right? That becomes the thing that guides what he does. So there's similar instruction in the Bible. So Luke 12:48 says, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. But from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked, right? God has created us to be superheroes, and he's given us a tall task, but he's empowered us to do it. But he wants us to do it, right? He expects us to do it. He expects us to listen to him, to follow him, to obey him, and then to be his light in the places that he sends us. Proverbs 3:27 says this, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Interesting point of interest here. The word good doesn't just mean like to be nice to people. It has an emphasis on actually doing good, like physical, tangible good things. So this means that we should be aware of our neighbors, right? And right, we know that neighbors means anybody that God puts in our path, not just literally the person next to us. So we need to be aware of what's going on around us, intentional in helping to provide for their good, right? In tangible ways. Be a superhero. God has given you much, right? There could be a whole series on the many blessings that we have, the ways that God has worked, the blessings that we have. God has given us much. So, and he's entrusted us to do his work with the things that he's entrusted and blessed us with. So let's use it for his glory. All right, number four. So this one is also for someone here. This one's for Nick. I think Nick is here. Where are you, Nick? Nick's up there. All right. Right. So this is Batman. And so, by the way, if you've never seen Nick, a picture of Nick in his Batman suit, you should do it. Right. Ask him about it. He'd love to show you. All right. So the fill-in for Batman is be a part of God's family. All right. So the backstory of Batman is as a young boy, Bruce Wayne is out with his parents in Gotham City. His parents are brutally killed by some kind of crook. And then Bruce vows to avenge that. And so his family is super rich. So as he's growing up, he travels the world. He learns all the things he needs, right, in order to do that. And he comes back as Batman, right? And so he starts his crusade to rid Gotham City of the bad guys. But his one-man war on crime becomes a family affair, right? So, you know, if there's Batman, there's also Robin, right? So Batman sees this other little boy who had a similar thing with his parents, so he takes him under his wing. That becomes Batman. And then there's other people that become part of that family crime-fighting, right? We don't see that much about them. But if you're in the comics, you probably know them. They didn't make it to the big screen very often, but... So there's this whole family of crime-fighting people, all right? So as a follower of Jesus, you belong to a family as well, right? A much cooler family. Ephesians 2:19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Notice Paul's use of the word citizen, right? So the original readers here would immediately think about about if they were or were not a citizen of Rome, right? Because there was power and prestige with being a citizen of Rome. There were advantages to being a citizen of Rome, and people wanted that. Through salvation in Jesus, right? Nothing is more powerful than that citizenship, right? As followers of Jesus, we become heirs to the kingdom. We have access to this power that we've been talking about, right? Nothing is more powerful than being a citizen of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, we are created to experience family and fellowship, right? God called it, well, we call it church. He created this idea. We now call it church. But this was God's idea. It was God's idea for us to be a part of this family so that together we could do his work, right? Individually, right, we all play a role, but together we are able to accomplish the things that God has called us to do that we can never do on our own. All right. Number five is, I've actually combined two here, Iron Man and Captain America. So for you Marvel fans, you might be disappointed that they didn't get their separate billing, but I did it for a reason. I'm a Marvel fan, but so the fill-in here is use your armor. The reason I combine them is because, Iron Man obviously has his armor, but Captain America has the cool shield, right? And so we need to put those two together. So if you don't know the background, there's a billionaire tech genius named Tony Stark, and he creates an almost invincible suit of armor that makes him Iron Man, right? And so we're not just talking about like some medieval clumsy armor thing here. We're talking nuclear-powered, high-flying, automated, ballistic, right? Every awesome word you can think of built in one suit of armor, right? That's Iron Man. But he doesn't have a shield, right? Captain America has the shield made of, like, the greatest materials, alien materials, I think, right? And it's almost indestructible. So combined, you have, right, this great armor. So we're not going to read about the individual pieces of armor in the Bible. If you want, I encourage you to do that if you haven't done it in a while. That's in Ephesians 6. But I do want to read some of the verses about how Paul describes the ultimate power of this armor. All right, so starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Right? Jesus has already won the battle. Right? We don't have to win the battle. It's already won. But it is our job to use the tools that God has given us so that we can stand our ground until the day he returns, right? So there is this mighty war going on, and we are called to stand up against that. But just remember, right, it's not our job to win it. It's our job to use the tools, stand strong, obey God, follow him, right, shine our light to other people so that they see this power of this loving God, and then wait for his return. So I know the answer to this question already, right? Do you put all of these pieces of armor on every day? Right? The answer is no. Not every day you don't. Right? I don't. You don't. We don't do it. But man, we should. We really should get better at this. Right? Ephesians 6. Every day. Go back to that. All right. And then I'm going to end with an animated superhero family. All right? They make the cut. Number 6 is The Incredibles. The villain here is be in the world, but not of the world. So if you don't know the story of The Incredibles, it's an animated movie, and the public develops a negative attitude towards superheroes because of the collateral damage that happens when the superheroes confront the evil guys, right? So the evil guys come out to destroy something, the superheroes confront them, but you've seen movies before, right? But the result of that is things get broken. And in this movie, the superheroes get blamed for it. And not only that, but the government initiates the superhero relocation program because they are not allowed to use their superhero powers in the public anymore. So, right, there's an interesting correlation here between, like, government overreach into religious activity, but I won't go there. I'll just let you think about that. But I do want to focus on this decision that the supers have to make, right? So the government has said, you are not allowed to use your powers in public. So you see the correlation here, right? You have basically been told that you cannot use your superhero powers in public, right? You can't pray in school. You have to be careful with how you relate to God in public. You've been given superhero powers, and you kind of can't really use them in public. So the supers decide that, hey, we can't stand by and watch these things happen, knowing that we can do something about it and not do it. So even though they've been told they can't, they do it. So our challenge is, are we going to use the gifts that God has given us and share that with the people around us, even though in some instances we've been told that we can't? So 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Do not love the world. Instead, do the will of God. The choice is actually pretty easy, right? Sitting here in our safe pew, right? The choice is obvious and easy. Don't love the world. Do the will of God. But practically, we make it complicated, right? It's hard out there. I get it. But it's a choice we all have to make. So don't forget John's encouragement. Don't get caught up in the things of the world because they will pass away. Right? The things in the world that grab our attention, they're not going to last forever. But the things of God, the truths of God, the promises of God, the things you know of God, right? The power of God, the relationship that you have with Him, that will last forever. So the choice really is easy. We just have to remember this correct perspective, right? And be encouraged and be willing to take the first step, right? Like Peter had to take the first step out of the boat, right? There's a time in the Old Testament where God has called them to walk through the river, right? I'm not talking about when He parts the sea, but there was a time in which they had to take a step into the river before He parted it for them to go, right? So sometimes it's hard. Sometimes that first step is scary. But don't love the world. Instead, do the will of God. These superhero stories are fun. I like them. And even if you're not really into them, there are so many easy biblical metaphors here, right? And they're good. People around you know these stories, so they're good ways to maybe talk to people, right? A good intro to share the story. There are so many more. Even with the superheroes we looked at, there's other metaphors we could have. So if you have other ones, you're like, man, I can't believe you didn't say that. Tell me what it is so that I can, maybe I'll work it in. We still have one more week of superhero messages, so maybe I'll work it in. But as you think of these, may they be an encouragement to follow God, right? To remember His love, to remember His power, to do His will as you guys interact with those around you. So, and remember that with Jesus as your leader and your guide, you are superheroes, right? We are His plan A. His church is how He plans to change the world, right? He's been doing it since the disciples, they changed the world in Acts, and He continues to want to do it through His superheroes that he calls to do the various things, right? So our kids are going to learn this week, right? That they are called to follow Jesus, that they are called to serve together, that they're called to show grace, right? We're called to those things. And we're called, and when we do that, right, God literally changes the world. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your Son, the greatest superhero of all time. May Your power and Your love, Your joy and Your peace fill us so that we might be unlikely heroes as well. Lead us so that we might shine bright for those around us that desperately need to and want to know about Your saving grace. Lord, we pray a special blessing over our kids and VBS, and that they too will be drawn to You and will recognize their call to serve You as unlikely heroes. Lord, it's in Your powerful, loving name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's raise a hallelujah.
Thank you.